The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. Hello, I'm Jim Williams, and welcome to this week's podcast. As you have no doubt read or heard by now, the wrestling world lost one of its own earlier this week. Nelson Frazier Jr. passed away Tuesday due to complications from a massive heart attack at the age of 43. For the better part of 15 years, Frazier worked in WWF and WWE as Mabel, King Mabel, Viscera, and Big Daddy V. He won the 1995 King of the Ring tournament, as well as a tag team championship with Men on a Mission, and later would go on to win the Hardcore title. In the hours and days since his untimely passing, the wrestling community has taken to social media, and the comments from those that he called colleague and friend speak to the kind of person he was outside of the characters he portrayed in the squared circle. Here's a brief sampling of some of those reactions. Bobby Horn, aka Mo, from Men on a Mission. My heart is broken. My brother and partner is gone. Rest in peace, King Mabel. Referee Jimmy Corderas. One of the good guys has passed on. Rest in peace, Big Vis. God bless. Tommy Dreamer. I'm shocked and so sad. He was a good friend. Brian Heffron, better known as the Blue Meanie. Saddened, stunned, and blindsided to hear of the passing of Nelson Frazier. What a gentle and lovable guy. Chris Masters. He was one of the good guys, and was always a great mentor and supportive. Kurt Hawkins. He was always so friendly to Zack Ryder and I when we first started on the full-time WWE roster. I'll never forget that. And the person who may have summed it up simplest and best would be Rob Van Dam. Rest in peace to another brother I'll miss. Nelson Frazier, Viscera, Big Daddy V, your life was too short. At this time, we will now observe a 10-bell salute to pay our respects to the late Nelson Frazier Jr.
And welcome to another episode, number 312, of the North American Wrestling Connection. I am your substitute host, Jason Block. Nikki Haim is in an undisclosed location, which we will reveal momentarily. But I have three people here who are going to help me out. First of all, it is our sound man, and who did an excellent job recapping the life of a far too soon gone wrestler named Mr. Frazier, Jim Williams. Very well done, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. For those of us, those of you who were expecting a special podcast this week, we had billed it last week as the New York Wrestling Connection, but partially because of the news of the passing of Big Daddy V, Viscera, Mabel, whatever you want to call Nelson Frazier Jr., and for other circumstances, we have shelved that temporarily. It will be coming up in future weeks. Sad to hear of his passing. And we'll talk a little bit more about it in a moment.
Mm-hmm. But one of the guys who's going to be on the podcast, and one of the guys who I actually finally got to meet this week, Gene motherfucking Aguilera from Brooklyn, New York. How are you, sir?
Mixed bag, honestly. It's sad that Viscera is dead now. It's always sad when we lose a guy in the business, you know?
Exactly. I mean, and he was a big man, literally and figuratively, mm-hmm. in the business. I mean, big dude. So I understand. But we'll get to that a little bit more about that. Our last person on the panel is Mr. VRM. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, look.
I had a story to share. I didn't actually get the chance to meet him, Mr. Frazier in person. But right. I do remember the third show I ever went to up in Times Union Center in Albany. It was the first live ECW.
Right.
And the main event that night was, I believe it was a fatal four-way match to determine the number one contender for the ECW title.
Right.
The action spilled out to the side of the ring, and Big Daddy V was, I forget who was fighting in that match. I got the chance to tell him up good, and he was corpsing a little, I believe, because there was a big Mabel chant going on.
Well, I mean,
like,
look.
Right in front, like, I was second row, so I'm right there. Right, I was right at the guardrail, basically, and there was a big Mabel chant up there at the second row. And when he went over the side, I couldn't really see, but I could have sworn I saw him laughing a little bit about the Mabel chant or something.
Well, I mean, look, you know, Jim, you know, I mean, look, Viscera was not exactly one. He was one of those just like gigantic guys. You know, he was a big dude who could move. I mean, he was not exactly the best wrestler in the universe, but he was a big dude. And also, Gene, he was managed by Matt Stryker for a little bit, wasn't he?
Yeah, right around...
During this time.
Right around 2000, the end of 2007, when The Undertaker started incorporating MMA into his moveset.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and because Matt Stryker, that was one of, like I said, one of the very interesting things that he did. You know, of course, you remember Viscera as the Love Machine going after Lillian Garcia for a little bit. You know, that was a little wild. They shared
I'd like to remember Mr. Frazier as something better than that.
Yes, I know. Well, you know what? He, like I said, Men on a Mission, as you said, Big Daddy V, and Viscera. I mean, you know, Jim, last thoughts on this, because, you know, I mean, the one thing I will say is he was well-loved by everyone, as you said, some of the comments that were put out on Twitter this week. No one said a bad word. Not a one. Right, Jim?
I think he's AFK.
Okay. Well, I mean, isn't that right, Gene? No one said a bad word.
There might have been a few people who might have said something terrible or...
Not public, though.
No, I'm not... publicly, maybe, but it's probably just buried somewhere. You know how it is.
Yeah, but, I know, but
yeah,
but
for decent people, there was nothing bad to say about Nelson Frazier. It's really nothing bad to say about anybody that died in this business, you know?
No, not at all. But the reason why our esteemed host, Nikki Heyman, isn't here is, you know, the big reason is she's in Englewood, Colorado right now.
Oh.
Yeah, because right now...
Sorry to interrupt, but nothing good, as Kobe Bryant will tell you, will come from being in Englewood, Colorado.
Not at all. I mean, because you know where... You know, that is the headquarters of Dish Network.
Oh, yes.
Okay? So she's right now holding the Hell No, I Won't Go sign. At the moment, because Jim, what in the blue hell did Dish Network do this week?
Well, Dish Network decided to be the first, as it were, to drop the ball a little bit, or drop the bomb, I should say, on WWE, since WWE has the WWE Network now. They're looking at that as the future, and let's put one and one together. Why pay for something that will cost you $40-$50 when you can get it for $9.99 with a 6-month agreement online. So Dish figures, hey, you're going to practically give away the pay-per-views. We can't make any money off of it. So they have taken WWE pay-per-views off their lineup in advance of Elimination Chamber. I can't help but think to myself, if I'm somebody who ordered the pay-per-view before they took it off, how I'd be feeling, mind I add.
The word cans.wave would be...
Yes, that would be an excellent choice of words, actually, yes.
Yeah, okay, Gene, how stupid is Dish Network right now? They could have waited 2 days, couldn't they have?
Well, I guess Dish Network just doesn't like money.
No.
Yeah, they don't like revenue.
They don't like making anything. They are the antithesis of every business ever right now.
Yeah, I've actually pulled up a quote from Variety. Dish Network posted on their Facebook page, quote, Dish will not offer the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view on February 23rd. WWE is not willing to adjust their pay-per-view costs to satellite and cable companies, which is unfair to their customers. We need to refocus our efforts to support partners that better serve Dish customers. Other satellite and cable companies, including DirecTV, have also expressed they may no longer provide WWE events in the future. Unquote.
Can I just say something for this?
Well, you can, but you can, and I'll tell you what that really means. But go on.
Bullshit. Bullshit. You don't give one good fuck about the customers, because if you really gave a fuck about the customers, you would have given them a fucking refund.
If they gave a fuck about the customers, they wouldn't charge $200 for their bundles and whatnot.
Exactly.
And I had Dish Network in Florida, and it sucked balls.
Yeah.
I've had DirecTV since 96, and I love it, so I'm an early adopter.
Interestingly, speaking of DirecTV, a quote here, a reference to CES after the details of the WWE Network came out from a DirecTV representative said, clearly we need to quickly reevaluate the economics and viability of their business with us, as it now appears the WWE feels they do not need their pay-per-view distributors.
Well, I mean, let me look at this from another angle, guys. You got to think about this. When WWE launched the network, the announcement of the network over a month ago, calculated risk was this kind of thing was going to happen. And you knew it was going to happen. It was inevitable. I mean, if you're offering something for far cheaper, and people are readily going to be able to purchase it for far less money, nobody in their right mind will be stupid enough to pay more for it.
So, yeah, so now the question is, the big question is, how much of a loss is WWE going to take on this?
Actually, not as much as you think. We're going to get to financials a little later on. Okay.
Well, but granted, financials won't tell you any bit of the story,
current financials won't. We need to look
6-8 months down the line. Yeah.
6 months down the line, Q4 numbers and the end of year numbers, and then Q1 and Q2 numbers next year. But
exactly. I mean, I think it's a foregone conclusion, and they keep harping on the $9.99 a month thing. Dollars to donuts, after the 6 months, you're going to be paying a little bit more than $9.99 a month for the programming. I think that's a foregone conclusion. Otherwise,
well, I would say, well, what do you think it's going to be?
I could see it going up to 20 a month. I really could see it going up to 20.
Max 25.
Right, because
still not terrible.
Oh, no, it's not terrible. You're getting a heck of a deal still, but they would be losing money left and right if they kept it at $9.99 a month. I understand.
Oh, no question.
I understand you want to get as many people in as possible, but
their money is selling WrestleMania for $60.
And
that's their money.
Yeah, it is. And they're going to lose a nice chunk of that because Dish is right up there 1-2 back and forth. The number of subscribers follies back and forth between who's number one and who's number two.
Well, let me give a little bigger question, though.
Sure.
Does this mean, and I'm going to ask you, Jim, first,
mm-hmm.
that this is the death knell of wrestling as a pay-per-view money-making entity?
I'm hesitant to say yes, so I'm not going to say yes. Because, let's face fact, if Dish, DirecTV, and cable companies pull out, and eventually they all will, and WWE Network cannot be self-sustaining, they will crawl on their hands and knees back to pay-per-view in a second. And you know they will.
Yeah, and what will happen is that in order to get better cuts out of it, the price, the networks will charge WWE an arm and a leg, and then WWE is going to pass that down to the people buying the pay-per-views, and we'll see regular, standard def pay-per-view, monthly pay-per-views at $60 a month, with high def fees at $75 and WrestleMania near $100.
Well, Gene, same question. Is this the death knell of the pay-per-view as a money-making object for wrestling?
Honestly, I don't think it's just a death knell for wrestling. I think at this point, how long will it take before other people are going to start following suit? Maybe you're going to see boxing pull up a network. Maybe you're definitely going to see UFC get a network. Most definitely.
They do. They have Fight Pass, remember? They have something called Fight Pass.
They have Fight Pass, and they're locked in with Fox as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now we're starting home. And not so much just a death knell for wrestling pay-per-views, but maybe a death knell for pay-per-views in general.
I mean, you'll still see big events like Mayweather fights draw like...
Oh, Mayweather...
Nobody fucking likes Floyd Mayweather,
they want to see him fight.
If only for the false hope that he'll get his ass beat.
They want to see the Pacquiao fight, which will never happen.
Exactly.
Let me refine the answer here. It will be the death of television pay-per-view. When you think about it, internet pay-per-view, which is what WWE Network is when you get right down to the nuts and bolts of it, has been around for over a decade. I mean, ECW was doing this kind of stuff, and of course Ring of Honor and CZW on an underground level have been doing this as well. WWE is following that mold and taking it and blown it out of proportion with all that they offer, and not just making it live streaming, but on-demand services.
Right, okay. Well, let me just also... So now, basically, we have the WWE Network launch happening this coming Monday. And for those who want to get the network starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, WWE.com will be slammed, and you know they will be, for the registration for the WWE Network one-week trial. Okay? And, of course, they are loading this particular show with, number one, the rumor is that The Undertaker is going to be making his appearance past Elimination Chamber. And it officially broke this today, actually. The return, and this has been rumored for, about 6 weeks now. Terry Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan, has officially signed a new deal with WWE and is going to be the host of WrestleMania 30. Now,
see finger, see throat.
Yeah, well, okay.
Sorry,
go ahead. All joking aside.
Well, I'm not joking, but go ahead.
Okay, we really don't necessarily like Hulk Hogan. However, Gene, I'll ask you this one first. I think this is a brilliant move in putting him as the host role. No?
Yeah, I would have to agree because, like it or not, as much as wrestling purists will like to think, oh, it's all about Shawn Michaels or The Undertaker at WrestleMania, yada yada. Really? The guy who made WrestleMania what it was Hogan. He's been in, 10, maybe 15 of the Manias?
Well, we could go to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
let's 9. Not talk about 9.
Well, okay, 8.
Ever.
8. Then we go to 18.
And 19.
21 in a cameo.
Right. So that's 10. And that's
so you're saying 10 to 12 WrestleManias he's been a part of, no question.
Right, okay.
And including the big
Gene, repeat yourself.
Including the WrestleMania that everybody will always remember.
Okay.
I'm of course talking about WrestleMania 3, because other than maybe say WrestleMania 28, I don't think anything has drawn as much money for wrestling as WrestleMania 3 did.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that iconic, the iconic match between him and Andre the Giant. I mean, that really helped put WrestleMania on the map as must-see television.
Correct. And I remember going to a closed circuit in college. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
Closed circuit? All right, Jim, what do you think?
Listen, I understand, Jason, why they're bringing Hulk Hogan back, because he puts butts in seats. Casual fan loves the Hulk Hogan, eats him up like meatloaf, wants to have him over for dinner. I just, and maybe this is me being a number three for just a half second here, I just don't like the concept of seeing Hulk Hogan taking time out, you know, and I don't like the concept of the host of a pay-per-view. It never works well. I didn't like when The Rock was hosting WrestleMania a couple of years ago. Nobody likes when The Miz hosted SummerSlam. It just doesn't jive with me. It's just unnecessary filler for my taste.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, I will doubt, because look, he's 61, he's 60 years old, right? He's 60. And with a back that's basically jello. Okay, there's no way he's going to be medically cleared to wrestle, right?
Never say never. Never say never. Realistically, I don't think he's. I don't think he's going to. I agree.
No, you know, I don't think so either. VRM, do you agree or disagree? What do you got?
You know that something's going to happen, and he's going to drop a leg. You know he's going to drop a leg on someone.
Probably. Okay, Sandow or 3MB? Who?
That's a tough decision, because you got 3MB, who are the jobbers to everyone. Mm-hmm. And then you have Sandow, who just want to make shut up.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, as I said, it's going to be...
It'll be Sandow.
You know, it'll be sin. But, I mean, like I said, Monday is going to be an incredible... I think it's going to be the most important day for the WWE ever. Does that make sense to you, Jim?
Not ever.
It'll be one of them. It'll be an important day. Is it a make or break day? I don't think so, but we might know more about the... Well, I shouldn't even say that. We won't know the impact, no pun intended, that this Monday will have until, as VRM said earlier, 8, 9, 12 months down the line.
Now. But we do know what happened, thank you for the segue, last month, the last quarter, actually. Now, I did some numbers here, and the market really liked what they saw, okay? Because year to year, they gained about $3 million revenue. Okay,
mm-hmm.
In their quarter, but as live event revenues did very well, they increased 9% from the prior year quarter. They had 3 additional events in international market. Okay, but here's something very interesting. I have pay per view numbers for you.
Ew.
Okay, Battleground, the new pay per view. Only did 114,000 this past October. Okay.
Yeesh.
Hell in a Cell did 228,000. That was the one with, I believe, Orton and Bryan with Shawn Michaels in the main event.
Right.
Okay. Now, hey, Gene, you know that awesome main event between Big Show and Orton at Survivor Series? Remember that one? Gene?
I think you and I have very different definitions of the word awesome.
I mean, okay, awesome...
Listen to the sarcasm.
Okay. It only did 177,000 buys. Down 35,000 buys. 32,000 buys. TLC stayed the same at about 181,000. They actually did 782,000 per quarter. Okay. For the quarter.
Wait. So what you're saying is TLC did better than Survivor Series.
That by 4,000, yes.
Wow.
Yep.
You see?
I mean, TLC,
this is TLC, what happens when you try to make Orton carry a pay-per-view.
But no one wanted to see Orton. Yeah, well, that's the funny thing. you noticed that those two pay-per-views did not have Daniel Bryan in the main event.
Gee, does Daniel Bryan draw?
He can draw money.
Speaking of Daniel Bryan, hey, Jim, did you notice that interesting article in USA Today this week?
Yes. Apparently, and we've chronicled this, I say we, mainly me on WrestleChat.net, that the Yes Chant is taking on a life of its own, not just in wrestling circles, but in sports circles. There's been video from Michigan State of tens of thousands doing the Yes, Yes, Yes Chant after the team came back from their Rose Bowl win. And we're starting to see it in other sports venues. The Yes Chant is becoming the new, I hate to say this, wave.
Yeah.
That's,
And Daniel Bryan had a new Yes shirt this week, which we're going to get to about the recapping on Raw. But I'm telling you, those financial show, I mean, look, I think Daniel Bryan draws money, contrary to what everybody else says. But I think what was the most telling thing of the entire conference, Gene, was somebody had the guts to ask where CM Punk was, okay? And Vince McMahon said, he's on sabbatical somewhere. So the question is, Gene, we've got 2 weeks left before Chicago. Does CM Punk come back? I don't think so.
Well, if he doesn't, then whatever happened in Pittsburgh last January, oh my God, it's going to look like fucking WrestleMania 3 compared to what happens in Chicago.
What do you got, Jim?
Well, it's interesting you guys bring that up. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to listen to this. It sort of segues into something else. Newest podcast out in all the land. On podcast one is the Ross Report. Yes, Jim Ross has his podcast finally out.
Oh, that's right. That debuted this week. By the way, I have to tell you, also check out the John Cena interview with the Steve Austin Show. Very good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Stone Cold podcast. Absolutely.
Really. It's Stone Cold. It's on the clean side, not the uncensored side.
Right.
So check
right.
that one out.
Well, of course, it's super Cena. It's got to be squeaky clean. But I'm bummed. No, but seriously, the Ross Report podcast, JR had his boy, Stone Cold Steve Austin, on, and they actually broached the subject for several minutes, and the belief was that ultimately, because of all the attention this is getting, this is going to be a shoot that turns into a work. Austin believes we will see, maybe not in Chicago in a couple of weeks, but at WrestleMania we will see CM Punk. I just want to get your thoughts on that hypothesis and that theorem.
Woo. Gene, you go first on that one, because I got to ponder that for a minute.
What, the prospect that it goes from a work shoot into a work?
Well, specifically the concept that it's real life, it's legitimate, but then because of all the attention and everybody grasping at straws about this, that it turns into, you know what, Punk grabs his ball, comes back in, and what have you, and he shows up at WrestleMania like nothing ever happened.
Before I express my thoughts on that, let me just say, for the record, I know Nikki might have broached the subject a few weeks ago, but I got to put my two cents in. I don't get how everyone is always like, Punk left because Vince is out of touch. Yeah, Punk's doing it for the people.
Really? No, that's it. Where did you hear that?
if you hear the IWC, they're like, there's like Punk's the big rebel against the tyrannical WWE machine.
Oh my God.
Gosh. No. Haven't we thrown these people in the room 101 enough?
Well, they're in the basement of their parents. So.
All right, go on.
Nobody is. I will say this because nobody apparently is willing to admit it. He's doing the same goddamn thing Austin did. He's being a fucking brat.
And you know what? Austin kind of brought that up on the podcast with Jim Ross, saying that it was the biggest regret he ever made in his life. And he doesn't look at what he looks at Punk as doing pretty much the same thing, and he will regret it. That kind of thing.
Yeah, the only difference between when he did it and when Punk's doing it is this little pay-per-view called WrestleMania.
Yeah, the Austin yeah. just kind of left left because of a Raw match with Brock Lesnar where he wouldn't put Lesnar over. Punk's skipping out on WrestleMania.
Yeah, and again, here's the deal with Punk. And again, I've said this before, and you know we've talked about this before, Jim. You know, in 2011, he did the famous pipe bomb speech. Gets the biggest pay-per-view, the biggest run in 25 years. Wrestles Undertaker at WrestleMania 29. You know, I mean, he's had pretty much everything done to him, for him, and he still runs away. You know, goes home.
It,
not good.
It doesn't. I mean, there's got to be something more to it than meets the eye, because I would expect Punk could handle himself being a mid card guy or an upper mid card guy. I think the man just is tired. He's been doing the thing nonstop with very little rest. You know, I think he's just saying, "No mas, my body can't take anymore." That's just my opinion.
Which is understandable, but I mean. Do you remember when he was WWE champion working with injuries and all that stuff?
Oh, well, that goes back to his independent roots, Gene, as you well know. He would not take days off in Ring of Honor and so on and so forth. That's just the way he's always been.
Fair enough. I'm still working under the belief that this is all just an elaborate work on Vince's part.
And if it is, and let me just say, sorry to interrupt, I'll let you continue. If it is... And he's pulled a great one over on all of us, and kudos to him for that.
Right, well, and...
Seriously, why...
Go ahead, Gene.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Gene.
I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I'm just saying...
Okay.
...that this kind of thing has happened before with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has, but... And maybe it's because of the day and age we're in now with the TMZ and what have you. It just seems different than when Austin tucked his tail between his legs and left. Well, it is different to a certain extent, like we talked about.
It is, because the internet wasn't as big back then as it is now.
Exactly.
But the fact remains, in wrestling now, especially nowadays, it is... so hard to shock people and to get people into anything now because everybody's so jaded. Everybody's seen everything before. So if you're going to take an angle and you're going to like present it as though it's rooted in reality, why not?
Whatever creates
buzz and whatever makes money.
I mean, the last real, and we covered it on this podcast a year or so ago, the last real angle in any federation or any organization that had that kind of impact was Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor.
Which one was this?
That
one?
Was when he actually went into the crowd and attacked the fan, only to know that it was a Planet fan, and literally the internet blew up like a Chernobyl over the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. And but the thing is that if it's a work, it's a great work. But I'm not seeing that right now. Okay, I'm really not seeing that right now. But I'm going to ask you, VRM, do we see him at WrestleMania?
I think if we don't see him at Chicago, I don't think we see him at WrestleMania.
Okay.
I imagine Chicago, they'll have a month to give him a program for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like last year.
Yeah, well, but last year was okay because it was The Undertaker, you know?
Which reminds me, if they were going to think about breaking the streak this year, why couldn't they have built it up from the Rumble?
Because it's not going to be, you know, they're not going to break, because again, you don't need it, you know? You don't need it.
It's transcendent. It's The Undertaker. It's transcended the storyline. It is. It just is at this point. You don't need to build a big match like with Trips. When we had Trips a couple years ago with Hell in a Cell, that was built. They had to build a match because of And they had a year to build that match.
Well, let's just pretty much go into pretty much the go-home stuff that has been going on with Monday, you know, with Monday Night Raw. And let me just tell you something, and I'm going to start it off right away. If you guys are wrestling fans, you must go out of your way to watch the Cena-Cesaro match this week that came out of Raw.
Oh, yes.
Glorious match.
I mean, this was epically good on both parts.
Could we say 4-star match?
It was a match of the year candidate.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No doubt about it. I mean, Gene, that was insane, right? How good was that?
Well, I didn't get to watch that night because I was...
Oh,
okay. Find it.
Go to YouTube. Go to YouTube right now. I'm sure WWE has posted the whole match on YouTube.
For all the crap John Cena gets, rightly or wrongly so, he puts on great matches. And this,
you will never hear me say anything terrible about John Cena as a worker.
Right.
But this is one of those matches where he hung with Cesaro in ways that was just insanely good.
And I like the way you said that. He hung with Cesaro, not Cesaro hung with him. That's the truth. That's the honest truth.
Cesaro was, you know, the last Friday on SmackDown, when he beat Randy Orton, and this week against Cesaro, I think a star was made, wasn't it, VRM?
Yeah, undoubtedly.
I mean, again, this was set up, you know, started off with a promo with everyone in the chamber. And, of course, Kane made matches with Christian versus Daniel Bryan in his new Yes shirt, Sheamus and Orton, and Cena and Cesaro. Also, Mark Henry fought Roman Reigns, and the Wyatts beat Los Matadores. Now, Daniel Bryan showed how awesome he was by beating Christian in an awesome match, and Christian, in a way, turned heel, which was a bit surprising. Which will build
into Friday.
Right.
Right, where he lost to Sheamus. But Dragon then fought Kane, and then Kane got DQ'd, and he was like, "Yeah, I got DQ'd, so what?" You know, that was pretty good.
Corporate Kane is best pony.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we had some duplicity with Emma, Summer Rae, Santino, and Fandango. I'm loving that stuff.
I love That's me some Emolution, stuff. Yes.
But I will just say this. The Reigns-Henry match was very surprising because Henry got squashed. But he, first of all, again, Roman Reigns, again, a major superstar coming out. But if you also notice, Ambrose went absolutely batshit and attacked Henry. And Roman was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Those looks, wasn't it great?
Yeah, I softened him first. I'm going to soften him to the end. See, I prove it. And then, of course,
another brilliant Wyatt confrontation with the Shield, ending with them leaving. Okay, which was, and of course, you know, that was great stuff, which we'll get on to later, you know, to later on. Then we, you know, we had, oh, and by the way, Bad News Barrett never had toys as a kid. I'm sorry. That was bad. You do not knock down toys. You just don't.
Bad News Barrett can do anything. Come on now.
Yeah, I know.
Watch, he'll knock down Twitch Plays Pokemon eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not knocking down anybody who watched that ad nauseum like you, VRM, but seriously.
Okay. And by the, you know, I mean, of course, some of the, did you also notice now, Rhino, that Dave has become pretty much an afterthought?
You say it like, you say that like it's a bad thing.
I'm not saying it's like a bad thing. I'm just saying.
No, it's kind of a bad thing. It
for
is.
For this pay-per-view, no one cares.
Right.
It's a bad thing because
they had
a fun...
I'm sorry, Gene, one second. They had a funny promo where, you know, Orton was talking to Triple H and bad-mouthing Batista, and Batista's behind him, and it's like that cartoon. He's behind him. You know, the Scooby-Goo cartoon. He's behind him, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know?
Why do I feel like somebody's watching me?
And then you know, Del Rio pushed Batista, confronts Batista, and then Batista just shoved Del Rio. But Gene, go. Why do you think this is bad? Why do you think the fact that Batista is getting the X-Pac heat, okay? What do you think?
Because that's supposed to be their main event. That's supposed to be one of their big attractions. Batista coming back at WrestleMania to get them publicity because he's on fucking Guardians of the Galaxy, a movie which I'm not really interested in seeing one damn bit.
Right.
Yes, and of course the trailer came out this week.
So, you know, the whole point of bringing Batista back was to make money off him. And if they can't do that, what the fuck's the point?
But Gene, the focus isn't so much on Batista Sunday. It's more on building towards WrestleMania. He takes a step back right now. Focus on the person who's going to end up facing him 6-7 weeks down the road.
Which we're going to get to. Exactly. Because I don't think it's going to be the guy they want it to be. Trust me on this. A little hint on Pick'ems in a few minutes. But, you know, the Wyatts beat Los Matadores with Sin Cara, which was, again, not a big deal. But we finally got the Shield Wyatts chamber schmoz at the end. But when they finally fought, didn't it say to you, Gene, that they built the Shield Wyatts match in a way that few matches have been built recently?
Well, it is technically heel versus heel, so I don't know.
Technically, but
what I'm saying is, the idea is that, and I'm sorry if I'm interrupting, it's just the idea that both teams have their fans, and they've built this confrontation very well, incredibly well, over months and months and months, a few months.
I'm not saying they haven't. I'm just saying, how is it supposed to work in practice? Because ostensibly, the Shield and the Wyatts are still very much heels, so one has to turn. Somebody has to turn face, or else the crowd at large can't really get into it.
Not necessarily, because
unless they're making it Roman Reigns' big face turn moment,
which it probably will be.
It probably is, and it's probably going to lead to Ambrose versus Reigns at WrestleMania.
Right,
but the way it's been built, I see what you're saying. You have two monster heel teams that have run roughshod over everyone. It's sort of like your Andre Hulk moment in monster tag team form.
The Shield has run roughshod over everybody. The Wyatts, other than Daniel Bryan,
But you know what?
What they did to Cena? Have you forgotten what happened with Kane when they first started?
One can easily argue the Wyatts are the stronger faction right now, very easily. And the Shield, if you look back over the last, I'd say, 2 to 3 months, this has been the breakup in the making. Slow burn.
Slow unraveling.
Which they're building so well. And you know what? Honestly, as somebody, you know, I'm not going to get the pay-per-view, but if I was ordering the pay-per-view, that's the reason why.
Absolutely. Right, this is the match of the pay-per-view. There's no question in my mind. This is, you know, we crap on creative on a regular basis on this podcast, and rightfully so, but when they do something right and they build something right, they deserve some credit, and they built this beautifully.
Perfectly, almost.
Just about, I mean, if the payoff is what we all expect it to be, yeah, then it will be perfect, I think.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But, now, it's just one of those things where they've been doing some interesting building to the pay-per-view right now, you know? Okay. Yeah, I'm getting a notice. Jim, you've got a message from the anonymous general manager?
May I have your attention, please, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, God, not this fucker again.
Yeah, I know. He
I love my own voice. What can I say?
He never takes a day off.
I have received an email from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my computer. Come on, what the hell else do you think I'm going to read it on? I mean, come on. And I quote, "Okay, you've talked pay-per-view, you've talked all these little things. Why don't you get to making some predictions, boys?" By the way, Jason, nice job. We give you a raise. Double salary.
Oh, great. 0 + 0 = 0.
Hey, okay. Something from nothing leaves nothing, or however that's...
Yeah, hey, if you've got a spreadsheet, VRM, we've got pick'ems in the second half for Jim, for Gene, and I will say it, the restrooms are open, the vending machines are plugged in.
She gave you the keys? Literally?
Yeah, she did.
No, knowing you and your New York mentality, your Brooklyn badass mentality, I thought you would have hotwired some shit.
No, that's for the New York wrestling connection. We hotwire that damn thing.
Yes, sir.
That'll be in a couple of weeks.
Yes,
yeah, sir. Exactly.
In the meantime, I got a cool email.
You know I'm New Jersey. Am I invited?
We'll see what Nikki has to say.
We'll see what Joey Numbers has to say.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
I will need someone to fetch me coffee.
Dark or with milk?
Yeah, okay, look, I need to get into the break, so let me do that. For Jim, for Gene, for VRM, this is Jason Block on the CLW83, NAWC 312. We'll be back.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
If you have a dog, then you know that accidents happen. You've tried pads, but they just spill off the corner onto the floor. Tired of coming home to a mess every single day? There's gotta be a better way. Introducing the Bullseye Pee Pads. Specifically designed with pheromones so your dog is drawn to the center of the pad. The problem with regular pee pads is that your dog will pee anywhere on the pad, which could be messy. But the Bullseye Pee Pads have concentrated pheromones that attract your dog right to the center of the pad only. Now your dog hits the target every time. It even locks in odors and releases a pleasant scent. The pad's absorbent quilted material is filled with odor-eliminating microlock beads that absorb and hold the liquid. This is a quarter teaspoon of the actual microbeads that are inside the Bullseye pee pads. Watch how they absorb all the liquid. It's amazing! Now see them in action inside the pad. We poured the same amount of liquid onto both pads. See it run off a leading competitor's pad, but not the Bullseye pad. And even when we add more, it still stays off the floor for all-day use. The Bullseye is the best for puppy training, and the Bullseye is a must if you live in an apartment. Your dog will never need to wait for the elevator again.
I hate going out in the rain or any bad weather. Thank goodness for the Bullseye pads.
Call now and get 30 Bullseye pee pads for only $12.99. But wait, if you order right now, you can double the offer and get 30 more. Plus, you can also get our famous pee terminator. For those stubborn pet stains you already have, blast them away with the pee terminator. Specially designed so you don't have to bend. Just spray away all kinds of pet stains. And the best part is, they won't be back. The Bullseye Pee Pads, just $12.99. Call now.
And welcome back to the North American Wrestling Connection. We will get back to the show proper in just a moment. But now it's time for our weekly update on the, Indiegogo campaign known as the Great Wrestling Revolution, where this, I'll call him a tool, is trying to raise $5 million to purchase TNA, Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. And of course, we've told you about this in the past, that anybody who donates money, their money will never be refunded back to them, because this, the way it works usually is, if you set a goal in one of these projects and you don't reach the goal, you still keep the money. So your money's as good as gone. So, you know, let me take a look. I think we all know what's going to happen here with the
Let's hope that total stays where it is. Zero.
Guys.
What?
We have the tote board. With 14 days left, this person has raised $1?
What? You mean someone gave this asshole money?
And it was an anonymous dick, too. 7 days ago, anonymous, $1.
He probably funded himself. Good God.
Probably does a lot of other things to himself, but that's neither here nor there.
$1? Really?
I think Gene is suffering from a Tom.
Oh my God, this is...
Must be a New York thing. I'm not sure. But Gene,
tool,
you know...
Tool! Just, oh my...
I can't believe that. You know what? This is... Gene, this is the one reason we have you on this week.
Wow.
You need to rip this son of a gun a new one. Can you give it to us one time?
Wow, I am speechless. I am fucking speechless. After all this time, we have finally found someone that is associated with wrestling that is worse with money than Dixie Carter.
Ha! There you go! Keep going!
Congratulations, man. And to the guy who actually started this stupid fucking campaign, hey, maybe you can get yourself a fucking Pepsi for your troubles.
Oh, Jim.
You're
Warren.
A both stupid fucking marks. You are a disgrace to anyone that calls himself a fucking professional wrestling fan. And you should never be allowed to go anywhere near money. In fact, you're for this kind of stupidity, you're just fucking fired from breathing. Okay? That's it.
Look. All right. Let's calm down.
Pack your
The podcast that you are listening to is currently experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
And welcome back to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is not Nikki Heyman. I am Jason Block, here with Jim Williams, Gene Aguilera, and VRM. Now, we were talking during the break, Jim, about a couple more interesting facts, per se, about the death of Joseph Frazier, Nelson Frazier. God, my apologies.
Ow!
Nelson Frazier, who passed away this week. You got some more info, don't you?
Yeah, this is coming from TMZ Sports. They had a chance to talk to his wife, Cassandra. Big Daddy V, Nelson Frazier, whatever you want to call him, he was starting to get healthy. He had diabetes, and his sugar and his blood pressure were up there. So he was losing weight, but it may well be that he dropped the weight too quickly. He lost something to the tune of 100 pounds, and according to the interview, he lost most of that weight over the course of the last 6 months of his life. Doctors said his blood pressure dropped to a healthy level, but he either lost all the weight too late or it came much too quickly. Cassandra saying this quote, "I guess the good Lord wanted him. I wanted him too, but he won." So, sad. Ouch. Makes you think.
Yeah, but what's even sadder is he doesn't have insurance, did he?
No. I mean, Dr. Jerry Wiseman sent over the following to the folks at WrestleChat, to Brecklin Daniel, pretty much saying, you see somebody on TV, you think they've got plenty of money in the bank saved up, not so much. He has no insurance, and they don't know how to pay the funeral expenses. So they've set up a PayPal donation link. You donate to, and we'll pass it along here as well. Go to WrestleChat.net to see it as well. EvilWorm13. That's EvilWorm13@gmail.com. That's the email address you send to for PayPal. And Sir Mo of Men on a Mission will actually be donating 4x6 photos to anybody who donates $5 or more. Anybody who donates $25 or more will receive an 8x10 of that same photo as just a little incentive, if you will, to try to get some donations in, which is a nice thing. And you know, the shipping comes out of Mo's pocket. It's not coming out of the donations. You know, I mentioned this during the break, completely unrelated in some respects. When my father died 3 years ago this week, ironically enough, I had to do the PayPal route to get donations to help cover his funeral. So I know how that is. I know what kind of a burden that can be. So if you have a couple of bucks, you know, and you appreciated what he did in the ring, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to help out the family because they're mourning. So,
yeah. On a more, you know, to segue to a sort of a funnier note.
There's no proper segue, so go for it.
There is no proper segue to this. First of all, just also congratulations to the Miz and Maurice who got married this week, by the way.
Lucky bastard!
Yes, there you go. And DDP, who got basically kicked out of the Shark Tank.
He was pitching DDP Yoga on Shark Tank tonight. Look for it on ABC.com if you didn't catch it Friday night. You know, he's going to be one of those success stories who shows them. Not like he needed more attention, but he just got more attention. And, you know, being on Shark Tank in and of itself is some of the best publicity you can get. So, I think he's going to be okay. Just a stab in the dark.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine, too. But you know who also is going to be fine?
Who?
Us.
Oh.
Us. Because we have a Fizzleweight Championship belt to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? VRM, please explain the matches, the rules, and what we need to do for those who have never listened before.
Well, I've got a spreadsheet here, and it's probably one of the bigger spreadsheets we've had for Elimination Chamber, because we have 7 matches, 12 points possible.
And of course, there is also a wild card point, for those who don't know, that is a point where something that was not planned or what we think is not going to be planned is going to happen. So we shall see. Start us off, VRM.
Yeah, we will start off before the pay per view goes on the air with the Rhodes Brothers versus Rybacksel. 2 points. Who wins and who takes the fall?
Oh, you mean who gets to stare at the...
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Well, that's why I'm going to do it for you, to help you out, bro. Oh, okay, Jason, go ahead.
Pretty. I can't. No, well, I can't. Hear that
You don't have that kind of falsetto, you baritone.
Not anymore,
night.
No.
Who gets to look at the...
Not just about the age of... That's not bad! Wow!
I mean, we can't do it as well as Josh can, but that's because that's because Josh is secretly a 12-year-old boy.
Hey!
No, just because Josh has access to things at Walmart, including vice grips that he uses so he can, you know, give his voice that high if you catch him adrift. To the match.
Yeah. To the match. Jim, you start off. What do you got?
Ooh. Haven't they been teasing a split of the Rhodes Brothers in recent weeks? Or am I missing that completely?
I haven't seen any to that effect.
I haven't.
I thought the last pay-per-view there was... Well, maybe not.
That's the Royal Rumble.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. All right, I'll go with the Rhodes Brothers, and I'm going to say that Axel is blinded by the lights, wrapped up like a douche, another ruler of the night.
By whom? Oh, anybody in particular?
The one who uses cucumber melon lotion on his face. That would be dashing Cody Rhodes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Gene?
Honestly, they both do.
Well,
both probably do it. But that's beside the point.
Is it really?
I'd say Cody pins Axel, because nobody gives a shit about Axel.
Right. VRM?
I'm almost tempted to give the heel nod here, but there's going to be a lot of heel nods going on later tonight, so I'm going to go with the Rhodes, and I'm actually going to say Ryback takes the fall.
Okay.
Jason?
It's Cody going to pin Axel. I mean, Ryback's in really a bad shape right now. They're both really in the mid-card for life sort of deal. And especially with the way Ryback has been tweeting, so
I think you're being generous to say mid-card, but okay.
Next?
Next up, a real simple one, Darren Young versus Titus O'Neil.
That's actually on the card?
Yeah.
Wow.
This match should have never happened. Never break up the prime top players, baby.
No, you want to know something? I'm going to flush this.
Oh, wow.
Because I do not give a rat's ass about either of them, and I think this should be on Raw and does not deserve on the be on the pay-per-view. Flush, I'll take my half point right there.
And yeah.
All right, Jim.
You've almost inspired me to go with a wild card on that notion. You know what? I'm going to do it. Here's the wild card. This match will not make the pay-per-view.
Ooh,
wow!
This match will get bumped. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it happen before where matches are supposed to be on pay-per-views, but they end up putting them on Raw the next night. I think this is that kind of match. I mean, let's think about it. Has there been a lot of build-up to this match? Not a whole heck of a lot.
Okay, so now, do I score that as... I'm going to have to consult with Nikki and Josh later, because do I score that as a flush?
I will, for the sake of the pick'ems, I will flush the match.
And I'm going to consult with Nikki,
mm-hmm,
and say if... and Josh, and determine if we make your wild card a special 1.5 point.
Okay.
For the, that's...
I'm gonna, you know, you inspired me, Jason, so thank you for the inspiration, because I was toying with two or three different ideas for a wild card. I think this match gets bumped off the card, because if you look at the rest of the card, they can spend quality time on other things.
Yes, they can. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Gene?
Yeah.
I would say that this match gets bumped off the card. Yeah.
So what are you doing?
I'm flushing, because who really gives a fuck, really?
Oh, wow, okay.
That message brought to you by Be a Star.
Yeah, sorry.
Look, I have nothing against Darren Young or his choices or anything like that. He can...
Or against Titus O'Neil being a barking doggy.
No, yeah, it's just no. The build for this has been zip. Okay?
It's been essentially one interview Titus O'Neil had with Renee Young, and quite frankly, I was busy looking at Renee Young, so I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, and then one match tonight.
Yeah.
But we've seen this happen so many times. How many times have you flushed something and have we had someone lose because they flushed something?
I don't care.
I don't really care. I'm just saying.
I always lose the pick. I haven't won a damn one of these since the Jack Swagger Money in the Bank. Come on.
Fine. You know what? Fuck it. You know what?
Someone's changing.
Darren Young wins.
Darren Young wins, and nobody gives a shit.
You got half of that right, at least, I think. No one gives a shit part. Yeah.
I'm going the exact other way. I'm going with Titus O'Neil because Darren Young has got some momentum.
All right, do the dog sound. Come on.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do the dog sound because I don't give a fuck either.
I'm just sad because there's no more Millions of Dollars.
That's what that's what I'm saying. I mean, I was hoping that at some point, me, Brett, and a bunch of the folks from WrestleChat, and some of us get together, and we start the biggest, longest Millions of Dollars dance line ever. No, it can't happen. Anyway.
All right, let's actually get some gold into this picture.
Please.
Why don't we?
Yeah. Tag Team Championship, New Age Outlaws versus the Usos. So, win and pretty lights.
I'll start. The Usos will win the belt, but not here. New Age Outlaws win. Jimmy Uso's going to stare up at the pretty lights, but again, not yet. One more month. Gene.
I'd say the Outlaws retain because I see them dropping at WrestleMania.
Okay.
So, fuck. Billy Gunn pins, I don't know, Jey Uso.
VRM?
It's gonna happen, but yeah, it's not here. It's at Mania. It's gonna be, I'm gonna say Jimmy takes the fall. Outlaws retain.
Jimbo?
You know, what they need to do with the Usos is they need to do like with the Bellas in that one match. Mark one of them so you know which one is what, because I can't tell them apart. Outlaws win because the D-O-double-G rolling with that A-double crooked letter need a WrestleMania paycheck, apparently.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Outlaws win, and I'm going to go with boop, 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 boop. Stop! Stop at a J. J gets look at the pretty lights.
You know what, though? If you really want them to be told, if you really want to be able to tell them apart, they could just do what the Bellas did. One of them can get a boob job.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
stop the pain. Stop the pain. Moving on.
Next match, please.
Next match, we bring out some more gold, some Intercontinental gold. Big E versus Jack Thwaga.
Okay. Here's the deal. Big E's going to win by DQ when Cesaro interferes in some... No, Cesaro can't interfere. He's in the chamber. No.
He could. I mean, they are still...
You know what? I'll change my mind. Big E wins to keep the momentum going. Swagger's not going to have the belt just yet.
VRM.
All right, Jim.
All right, I'll go. Big E wins this thing. And don't be surprised. I have a funny feeling the end of the association... English. The association between Coulter and Swagger really goes into high gear after this. I think Swagger is going to be disenfranchised from the real Americans.
Do you think they're going to split the real Americans?
Considering Cesaro is over and over and over, absolutely.
Okay.
Might factor into Pick'ems later on. Just a thought. Just a friendly thought. But Big E wins. The artist formerly known as Big E Langston. Yes.
Do you agree, Gene?
No question. Big E wins.
And do you make it a sweep there, VRM?
I make it a sweep for us, but it's not a sweep on our board.
Well, for us.
Yeah.
Okay, next.
All right, here's a match that maybe you would probably want to flush. The resolution of the Twitter war, Batista versus Alberto Del Rio.
I'm not going to flush it. I'll make it quick and easy. Batista squashes Del Rio, and Batista moves on to WrestleMania. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly and move on. Gene.
Batista wins. Squash. Who the fuck cares?
You met Jim?
Two words. Game genie. Thank you. Now, Dave wins and makes Alberto Del Rio his bankroll.
You agree, Sean. VRM, right?
Yeah. Batista's... It's Sunday, and Batista's looking, but Del Rio doesn't have a belt. Oh, I'll just beat him up for the hell of it.
And tro-la-la-la-la.
I'm going to play my wild card here, actually.
What you got?
Here is... Oh, God, do I really want to play it here? Yeah, I want to play it here. Batista wins the match, but then the return of Brock Lesnar, he F5s Batista. Does that make sense? Because he's been claiming he's the number one contender. Right?
Yay.
And then Brock becomes a face.
Scary thought.
In that match. Trust me.
Oh, of course.
Did everybody say their stuff?
Believe so.
Yep.
Believe that.
Okay, next.
All right. What I'm going to call our co-main. Wyatt Family versus The Shield. Winners and Pretty Lights.
This is going to be fun.
Match of the night.
This is going to be a war.
It is electric.
Put it to you this way. The Target Center is going to explode because the Wyatts are going to win. Bray is going to pin Rollins. Okay, to set up his WrestleMania match with John Cena, allegedly. Wyatt family wins, but it is going to be a war. Gene.
I agree. It's probably going to be pretty good. It's probably going to be pretty good. I would say, here's what happens, and this is not my wild card, but I could see this happening. At some point in the match, it's an elimination match, right?
No.
Just listed as a six-man tag, so first team.
Okay, then in that case, what it happens is, and this is not my wild card, I want to make that clear. At some point down the match, maybe Rollins is incapacitated or something, but I think this might be the moment where Rollins and Ambrose just bounce on Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns tries to take him on alone, and he falls valiantly. With Bray getting the pin.
So, Wyatt's over Reigns, then?
Yes. And if I call that, somebody has to bow down to me.
I like the thought, but the way they've been setting this up, Rollins has been trying to play somewhat of a peacekeeper role. There's not going to be any more peace kept tonight. Rollins is going to get in the middle of Reigns and Ambrose, and he's going to be the one member of the Shield left towing the line. Ambrose is threatened by Reigns. Reigns thinks he should be the man with the belt. Eventually, we got Reigns versus Ambrose for the United States title at WrestleMania. But for now, it's going to be the Wyatts going over Rollins because he's just the third man in the group.
Jim, did you say anything?
Not yet, but the Wyatts. I'm going to go Wyatts over Reigns. I think Ambrose does some sort of distractionary thing to Reigns, gets him off focus, Wyatts take advantage, and such the dissension really hits a boiling point after the match. Wyatts over Reigns.
And yeah, it's going to be insane. But by the way, it's going to be insane. And now to the main event of the evening. It is for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Randy Orton defends in the Elimination Chamber against Antonio Cesaro. I'm sorry, Cesaro.
Yes, how dare you, sir.
John Cena, Sheamus, Christian, and Daniel Bryan. What do you got there?
Yeah, all right, we have the winner, obviously, and who is the last eliminated? I'll kick the proceedings off for this one, because I'll be playing my wild card on this.
Okay.
It will be, sadly, Randy Orton winning. Randy Orton will retain a title. He will last eliminate, and he will last eliminate Daniel Bryan with a little bit of help. Because my wild card is that Kane will pull a Michaels 2010 on Daniel Bryan.
Specifically under the ring.
Yes. Kane will break through from under the ring.
Vintage Kane.
Okay. Mm. Now, are you saying that this is going to set up Triple H versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania? Daniel Bryan gets the Punk spot, in other words?
I'm playing all angles right now, because it might set up that, or it might set up a chance to get back into...
You mean, in other words, a three-way?
A triple threat, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Because I'm going to go last. Gene, what do you got?
All right. I see it going a little bit differently. I'd say, and I play my wild card on this, Daniel Bryan wins, eliminates Orton, and then Orton uses his rematch clause to make it a three-way dance at WrestleMania.
That would require going to Raw. I don't know if we can... Jason?
What do you mean?
The fact that he would have to invoke the rematch clause... No.
You can't invoke... No. It has to be at the night only.
Oh, okay. How's this? Does anyone remember... Does anyone remember the triple threat match at the end of 2004 between Triple H, Chris Benoit, and Edge?
No, but go on.
No, because it didn't happen. Oh, wait, sorry, that shouldn't have come out.
Right.
Thank you.
Anyway, the result was that Edge tapped while pinning Benoit, thus vacating the title. Now, I don't mean to say that the title will be held in
abeyance
again, because that would be old and tired. However, I do see it as it's somehow leading to Daniel Bryan and Orton getting into a tie.
So you're saying basically the ending is going to be a tie, therefore it's going to be a triple threat at WrestleMania.
Yes.
Okay.
So technically,
somehow, some way, they're going to shoehorn Daniel Bryan in there, because I think they may have panicked after the Rumble. Because you see how quickly they put Daniel Bryan back in the spot.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how to write this.
Yeah, let's go back to this for a second. So you're saying that the last two people will be Orton and Bryan, and neither one of them will technically win.
Right. No contest.
Okay. You don't know how badly I want to say Cesaro here. You don't know. And I'm tempted to. But I can't. I will make this prediction. Bonus point. Nah, not really, but here you go. Multiple people will be playing Wheel of Cesaro.
Yes, exactly.
It's going to happen. Multiple people will feel the wheel. But, come on, it's got to be Orton Bryan at the end. and we can't have a title change before Mania. We can't have the big belt go before Mania, I don't think. So Randall, Keith, Orton will retain.
I'm sorry, guys. If they do not put the belt on Daniel Bryan this Sunday night, I'm telling you this, it is the biggest mistake the WWE can make.
Really?
Yeah. Because Batista Orton is not going to bring the money in. Daniel Bryan going into WrestleMania and defending the belt against Batista and Orton will. It will be Bryan and Orton because they've been setting it up the whole way, and Bryan is going to win the match. If he does not win the match, the WWE is stupid. Look at the reaction they got. And I, you know, and Nikki is going to say, well, you can't do it on a B pay-per-view. Of course you can. It's panic time at the WWE.
Also, they already have.
Eddie 2004.
It doesn't happen that often, though. Let me ask you this, Jason.
You asking?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Yep.
Even if Bryan loses to Orton in the chamber Sunday night, to, I believe, Gene's point, can't they still shoehorn him in? And, you know, Triple H gets impressed.
It won't matter to me. To me. Of course they can shoehorn him in.
And I think they will no matter what, so.
Right, of course.
But it won't flow. Like it'll be
I would disagree. I would think it would be, quite frankly, the ultimate redemption. Remember, this is a guy who I think it was 3 years ago had a match that lasted 12 seconds.
It'll be 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
18 seconds.
And then you give him 30 minutes and win the title at the greatest event of the year, the biggest WrestleMania of them all.
I sort of see where Jason's coming from. I'm right. Saying Orton over Bryan because it just feels predictable. But what Jason's saying is, even if they shoehorn Bryan in, it's not gonna have the flow of the storyline.
How often have they had the flow of a storyline?
With this story, they sort of have.
Okay.
Because here's what happened, okay? You have had, right now, the fans, at the moment, they're complacent because Daniel Bryan has a shot at the title.
Sure.
Okay. If Daniel Bryan loses, the fans riot.
I don't want to say they won't, because they will. I know that too. But if Orton wins by outside means, not necessarily Kane coming from under the ring, but Triple H is coming down to the ring to watch the final two people in the match and serves as some sort of distraction, there may be a way for Daniel Bryan to find his way, rightfully so, into the main event after all. That's all I'm saying.
I understand that. But, Gene, do you understand where I'm coming
from? I do. Don't get me wrong. I understand what you're saying. Go ahead,
Gene. No. But I'm asking Gene, do you understand my point of view?
That it wouldn't make as much sense if Daniel Bryan didn't go in at WrestleMania's champion.
No, what I'm saying is that right now, at this point in time, WWE is in full panic mode, and they need to do something to switch things up on the predictability level.
Well,
because if they go through with Batista Orton, they won't get 800,000 buys.
Well, they won't anyway. Because they don't have Dish Network.
Bold prediction. If they go through with Batista Orton, they won't make 500.
Nah, I wouldn't go that
far. No, I wouldn't go that far. But I know it will drop. That is for damn sure.
Definitely not a million.
And we won't get a proper number anyway, okay? Because of the WWE Network, buys.
Right.
So that's misleading.
Yeah. Right. But when it is what it is.
Right.
I'm just saying that people will turn away in droves. People want to see Daniel Bryan. That being said, Daniel Bryan, yes, is the man right now. He is the man.
I don't disagree with you. I'm with you on that.
Okay.
But not unlike... I hate to invoke it. Not unlike John Cena, he's more entertaining as the chaser than the chasee.
Except for the fact he's been chasing since SummerSlam.
True, but the payoff at the end... Okay, it'll be just six more weeks, and the payoff will happen. That's just my opinion.
I understand that, but the question is, though, are people willing to wait the 6 weeks?
Because it's Mania? Yes, I think so. We'll see.
Here's how it is. It always feels to me, as a fan, that I'm not just talking as a wrestler, I'm talking as a fan, that it means more. The WrestleMania moment means more when it's like this big, epic title victory. Like, well, that main event of WrestleMania 20 that apparently never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Benoit won the title, did you see the roof blowing off Madison Square Garden?
I was there. Yes,
they were shitting on the pay per view for most of the night.
They were shitting on certain parts of the pay per view. Okay.
But what I'm looking at is Daniel Bryan successfully defending his title will not get as big a reaction in the Superdome as him winning the title at the Superdome.
I don't see it that way.
Okay.
I really don't. I'm thinking he goes in as the conquering hero and leaves as the conquering hero.
So you would say, regardless, I mean, no question he's going to get the loudest pop of anybody, but it really doesn't matter if he comes in as the champ or not to you. In terms of crowd reaction.
No, it does not.
Okay.
It does not. Because to me, if he comes in as the challenger, there's a possibility they'll screw him.
Right.
Not at Mania.
There's
really?
Always a possibility. I can see that.
All right. Anyway, look.
I see it that way because only one heel has ever walked out of the main event of WrestleMania victorious. Only one.
Triple H, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Right.
Okay.
But think about that. And think about how badly WrestleMania 2000 failed because of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really think they're going to try that twice?
True. VRM, to tie the bow on this, VRM, tell the beautiful people how they can join in on the Pick'ems.
Pick'ems will be posted on the AWC Facebook page.
And they have to get it in before 7:30 Eastern time.
Yeah, 7:30 Eastern. I don't usually do 7 Eastern time.
Yeah.
Yeah, 7 or 7:30 Eastern time to get the picks locked in.
Yes, prior to the pre-show.
All right. It's time for some pluggage here. Gene, we're going to start with you. Talk about WUW Online and your next show.
Okay. So, glad you asked, Jason. Because here's what's going to happen. WUW is going to Mexico.
Nice.
Well, some of us.
Oh, great.
Here it is. On March 1st and 2nd, in Coliseo Tulancingo, WUW and CMLL are going to be hosting two very big shows featuring Matt Stryker, our light heavyweight champion, our world heavyweight champion, Super Crazy, and our very own Ultimate Security. Tickets are 50 pesos. And 25 pesos for kids, or maybe it's dollars. I don't know how it works in Mexico. I don't know how currency works in Mexico.
Plenty of dulces for los kids. Sí.
Yes, most definitely.
Yes,
but
that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool.
It is. It is. And on a personal note, I congratulate Ultimate Security for all his success. He's one of the hardest working sons of bitches I've ever seen. And I hope everything goes well for him, because he really deserves everything he's getting. After our sojourn in Mexico, we'll be coming back soon to Gleason's gym. Stay tuned.
Ooh, very cool. Interesting.
All right, Jim. We got some baseball that we just talked about.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
nothing to see here.
A Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer retires. A guy who, if he didn't inject, would be a Hall of Famer, says no mas and does his best impersonation of Roberto Duran. Oh, and the Yankees win yet another prized possession in the free agent market. Oh, ho, hum. Also, we talk about how the Braves are arguably going to be tooled up to start a new dynasty. How my Phillies are the worst team in the world right about now for some of their doings. And we will have 4 minutes that will set a sterling example of how not to announce a fake sporting event. It is a perfect day for this Kitten Bowl with Tomcat Brady Jr., you know, Manti Meow, and Mr. Whiskers. Yes.
And of course, Meow Sean Lynch.
Meow yes. Sean Lynch. And a cameo by Regis Philbin because, well, he needs the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's leaving, crowd goes wild, and outside of Katie Nolan, that show's not worth watching.
Is he really leaving?
He's going to be phased out in the next couple of months, leaving that show because he just doesn't fit on there. Then plus your boy, is going to go to Fox Sports One. Your boy Mike Francesa. So.
Oh, good God! Stop the pain.
Well, he's your boy, you know. Come on, you know when it's 3 o'clock. You start drinking those Diet Cokes like him. Come on.
We have a lot more coming up. VRM, get me out of here.
Touch him off. CLW83, listen.
Yeah. VRM, stop the pain.
He's a Michael K guy, by the way, so anyway.
On the WrestleCraft Sports Digest, if we have it this week, we'll discuss the big one at a qualifying race at Daytona.
Boogity boogity.
We've got Champions League. I think it was Champions League. Yeah, it was Champions League.
The champions! Sorry.
And we have everybody down on this side of the border saying, go fuck yourselves, Canada.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except Don Cherry. But wait, he's on the other side of the border. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. I'm just seeing what Don Cherry wore today. Funny.
I've got a different idea for her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all I know is this. I've got a couple of things to plug, of course. All the beautiful shows here at CLW 80. Whoa, good grief. Hold on.
I just sent a picture just for reference sake. Don Cherry rocking a Mickey Mouse tie and a horrible floral suit.
What the f-
Oh, dear God. Wow.
The
Pimp Daddy. He's getting. Should I say it or should I not?
No, just type it in while I plug. Of course, Pixel Nation, the video game podcast with Brian Henniger, Red State, Blue State with yourself, and hopefully DC Lumber very soon, and of course, Ethan Muslin, and all the other, and of course, this show, which is the North American Wrestling Connection, I'm going to plug because I'm here, in the words of our esteemed colleague, Nikki Heyman. Hopefully, she will be back in time from Greenwood, Colorado, to actually see the show live in Minneapolis this week. But we've got a lot to cover. I don't know if we're going to be doing any live stuff about the network, but it's going to be a big, big, big week here on the North American Wrestling Connection.
We're going to have some reviews of the new network invariably, I think.
I would think so.
Sorry.
Quick question. Last question before we go. Who's getting it from us? Jim, are you getting the free trial?
I'm going to try the free trial to see what it's all about. Plus, I'd love to see some ECW pay-per-views with horribly edited music.
Mm-hmm. Gene, what about you?
I might, but if I could just say one thing before we get off.
Yeah, sure.
Don Cherry, you look like you run a prostitution ring at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, jeez.
When you wish upon a star.
Yeah, and VRM, what about you? Are you going to get
it? I'm still on the fence.
All right, we shall definitely find that out. And believe me, it's going to be a great week here at the North American Wrestling Connection. For Jim, for Gene, for VRM, this is Jason Block saying, we'll be back next week here on the North American Wrestling Connection here on the CLW83. Good night.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.